This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, in the ninth year after the Hijrah, after the migration of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, shortly before his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there took place what is known historically as the Battle of Tabuk. And that which the Qur'an titles, Sa'atul Usra, the hour of adversity. Think of all of the adversities. This was the moment of difficulty. The great superpower of the time, the Byzantine Roman Empire, was mobilizing all it had to finish this growing Muslim population once and for all. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a call made out to everyone, that they are all obligated, so long as they can, every able-bodied person, is to flock out of Medina immediately. And it was difficult because these are 30,000 people. A number like that does not exist elsewhere in any of his battles, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the middle of an exceptionally hot summer, extreme heat, and also the people of Medina were going through a difficult season of poverty. The yield of the crops that year was not like it usually is. And so this caused the people to become divided. Among the people were those who could not go out due to their disability, and some of them were so sincere that Allah celebrated them until the end of time by coining or capturing their sincerity in the Quran to be recited until the Day of Judgment. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah says, there is no blame on you. You should not be worrying in the least. Those that came to you, O Muhammad, so that you can carry them, give them a camel or a horse, and you had to say to them, I do not have anything. I don't have any more rides. I don't have anything to carry you on, any riding mount. And so they walked away, the verse says, with their eyes overflowing with tears, that they do not possess that which they could spend. How? How am I going to stay behind in this moment of truth when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is himself marching out and he may never come back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can we? They cry that they couldn't go. And there were those also who, dozens of them, that were flimsy in their faith. Hypocrisy had crawled up on their souls, and so they stayed behind in a very conniving way. One reason or another, they just allowed the army to proceed and they disappeared in the crowds and stayed behind in Medina. But there were three people that were neither here nor there, were not excused due to some disability or lack of resource, nor were they hypocrites. The most famous of those three was Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. This is one of the leaders of the Medinans who was at the forefront of welcoming the Prophet ﷺ into Medina and hosting him. A great personality. He, unlike everyone else, had a harvest that was booming. It was like better than any other year. And so he said to himself, you know, the army cannot move as fast as an individual. I'll catch up with them. It's like, I'll take a few days to just wrap things up here in my business. And every day he would say, I'm just going to take care of a few more things here, set things up, and I'll catch up. There's no way they're going to get so far ahead. And it was the procrastination pill, the pill of tomorrow. And as they say, tomorrow is the busiest day of the week, always, because we always push more and more things to tomorrow. I'm going to stop putting things off starting tomorrow. This is the way it works. This has been Shaitan's most effective snare, hook, that he keeps people back with. People that could have repented, he used up their time. People that should have taken up certain initiatives, he took up their time. People that should have and would have and were intending to convert to Islam, but he got them to just think it over for a few more weeks. And their time in this world was up. And so Ka'b ibn Malik got caught in this snare of shaitan, putting things off, until he heard not just did the Muslims arrive, but the Romans had a change of heart and they aborted mission and no battle took place, and the Prophet ﷺ is now on his way back to Medina. Can you imagine? you have to appear in the morning in front of the court. If you've ever been arraigned or had a desk appearance ticket or have to show up to your boss or your parents or your teacher or whoever it may be, right? The whole night he's thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And he thought of the perfect excuse. He says, in the morning, the Prophet ﷺ came. And whenever he would come from travel, he would stop in the masjid. And he would pray two rak'ahs in the masjid and then go home. But this time he stayed in the masjid sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and people came to him, dozens of them, each of them giving him an excuse and him letting them go. And my family is telling me, just go to the Messenger of Allah. He is forgiving. He's so kind. He's so merciful. Give him any excuse. He'll accept it. He's accepted it from so many people. He says, and then as soon as I showed up in front of him, all of that disappeared. There's no way I'm going to lie to the Prophet ﷺ. I can't. He says, and so I sat in front of him and he smiled at me, tabassum al-mughdab, the smile of an angry person. And he said to me, where were you? He knows the Prophet ﷺ knew that he stayed behind. And he knows that the Muslims were talking about it over there. Like, he's the narrator of this entire account I'm sharing with you here in khutbah. And he says, when the Prophet ﷺ was there, he was saying, where's Ka'b ibn Malik? And some of them said, he's a hypocrite, like the other hypocrites. He was kept back by his vanity, by his luxuries. He was rich, he was popular, he was a poet, he was very eloquent. He's caught up in himself. Thinks he can get away with anything, thinks his money can get him out of any problem, right? And Mu'adh ibn Jabal defended me. Ka'b ibn Malik is saying, that means there's a conversation and it's being reported back to him. So he's walking up to the Prophet ﷺ, fully aware of the conversation. And he tells him, what kept you? And so Ka'b ibn Malik says to him the following. He says to him, yes, I did have an animal. Didn't you buy an animal? He said, yes, I did have a riding animal. That wasn't it. Transport was there. He said to him, O Messenger of Allah, wallahi, I swear by Allah, لو كنت جالسا عند أحد من أهل غيرك من أهل الدنيا, if I was sitting in front of any other human being on the planet other than you, لرأيت أني سأخرج من سخطه بعذر, I know that I can escape their anger at me with some sort of excuse. لقد أعطيت جدلا, I've been a person that has been gifted with articulation, eloquence. I can talk my way out of anything with anyone. He said, but I fear that if I am to tell you something that is not true, so that you will be pleased with me for a moment, Allah will cause you soon enough to become angry at me. And so I know that if I am to tell you the truth right now, and you hold it against me, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو فِيهِ عَفْوَ اللَّهِ, I am hopeful that long term, I can land the forgiveness of Allah because of that. وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عُذْرٍ, I swear I had no excuse. I swear I was never healthier, he said, or wealthier than the day I stayed behind when you went off into battle, than the day I deserted you. I had no excuse. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Sahaba, the companions around, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. See this one? He's being honest. Meaning he knew sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the others were lying. And he let them go. Dealt with them sort of in a, you know, superficial way. I don't mean that in a disrespectful manner, but just. And then he said to him, go away until Allah passes a verdict about you. He walks out from the Prophet ﷺ's gathering. His family blasts him. What is the matter with you? Why do you gotta be Mr. you know, Goody Two Shoes? Why do you gotta be Mr. Honest? Why couldn't you just say anything and get yourself a dua from the Prophet ﷺ? He would have prayed for you like he did with everybody else. He says, and they kept criticizing me. حَتَّى هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَرْجِعَ فَأُكَذِّبَ نَفْسِي, to the point that I was on the verge of going back and belying myself, retracting my statement. And then, subhanAllah, when Allah wants to guide someone. And then I said, who else did he say that to? You're honest, go away till Allah passes a verdict. They said Hilal ibn Umayyah and Murara ibn Rabi'. He said, those are two righteous men. They attended the earliest battle of Badr. And I am hopeful that Allah will forgive them, so I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay in this good company. Even if dozens have gotten a pass. And he was right. And he was rightly guided in that intuition. The Prophet ﷺ was tougher on them because Allah wanted to purify them. Because they were honest. Moment of weakness, but they were honest. But the test had to come. The purification. He had to be forged by the mistake. And an announcement goes out that no one is to speak to these three people under any circumstance, nor interact with them whatsoever. He says, I would enter the masjid, say assalamu alaikum to the Prophet ﷺ, and look at him and stare at his lips. Are his lips even moving? He wouldn't say anything. I'd enter to pray, and I can feel him looking at me out of the corner of his eye, like he's getting excited. And as soon as the prayer is over, I turn, he doesn't give me a moment's attention. And this was not a day or a week. This was 3, 4, 5 weeks plus 40 days in social isolation. In prison in the middle of the city, if you will. He says, I went to the house of my cousin and the person I loved the most out of anybody after the Prophet ﷺ, he said. And I'm calling out for him to come out of his house. Someone give me the time of day. Like I'm dying here. He wouldn't answer me. I climb over his wall and I get into his property. And I tell him, Assalamu alaikum. Like, and wallahi, he didn't return my salam. And I said to him, don't you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? He didn't answer me. I repeated it a second time. Nothing. I repeated it a third time. Like, are you crazy? Like, do you doubt that? Like, what's wrong with you? And don't you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? And then Abu Qatada, my cousin, said to me, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. He says, so I broke down. You know, he broke down because he's wondering now. Like, wait, maybe I am. Maybe I don't love Allah and His Messenger. Maybe I suffer, and may Allah protect us all. Maybe I suffer from what they call main character syndrome. You know main character syndrome? So that you believe that like nobody has an excuse but me. And everyone's crime is huge but mine. And like I am the main character. I am the hero. The story will always work out well for me. Everyone in the world is basically my sidekick or a villain. That's main character syndrome as they call it, right? He says, so I broke down. Like he started doubting himself. For 40 days, brothers and sisters. And then on the 40th day, the Prophet ﷺ sends a message to the three of them. To their homes. That their wives are to leave them. They said, should we divorce them? He said, not yet. But so he sent her to her parents' house. And then in those days, the king of the Ghassanids, a Christian kingdom in the north of Arabia, gets whiff of this and sends him, like a royal messenger, a royal emissary, with a message, a job offer. And it says to him, Ka'b ibn Malik, I have heard that your companion does not appreciate you. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't know who you are. So join our ranks so that you will be the first of your people to join the winning team. And so that he will know what it means to underestimate someone of your caliber. He looks at the letter and he says, هذا أيضا من البلاء. This is a part of the test. In my moment of weakness, the perfect job contract. He says, and I throw it in the fire. Little cooking fire he has in his house. I incinerate it before I change my mind. He says, and then on the 50th day, I'm sitting on top of my roof after the morning prayer in the state that Allah described in the Quran. There are many verses about the Battle of Tabuk and this episode of today's khutbah. One of them is speaking about the three that stayed behind. حتى ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت, until the earth, there was no room for them left on earth. That's how they felt. This wide earth was as tight as a needle hole at this point. وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم, and their souls tightened on them. Like I can't even live with myself anymore. In that moment, I was sitting in that state on top of my roof, suffocating, crying and suffocating 50 days straight. He says, and I hear someone calling out, Ya Ka'b ibn Malik. Great news. He said, I fell into sujood. And I thanked Allah Azza wa Jal. I knew what happened. I knew Allah had finally accepted my repentance. Had finally. Because the verse says, you know, until their souls even became too tight for them and they realized there is no way to escape Allah except by running to Him, and so He opened the door. Now they've realized this, He opened the door. In that state of brokenness, He opened the door. In the dead end, Allah, there's no dead ends with Allah. And He opened the door and accepted the, I realized it. Before I even heard the verse, I realized it. And I ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said to me, O Ka'b ibn Malik, congratulations for the best day of your life since your mother gave birth to you. You think about that, brothers and sisters. What do we consider the best day of our life? The day I made it big. Whatever big means. So a 15-year-old versus a 45-year-old and anything in between, right? What does it mean? The child, and that's a beautiful day, right? The marriage, the graduation, the promotion. What is it? The best day of your life is the day that you earn the forgiveness of Allah, because we are transient beings passing through this world. And at the end of that moment called our lives, we either have the forgiveness of Allah or we have nothing. Or else we will wish we were not born. Congratulations to the greatest day ever since your mother ever first gave birth to you. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, decades later, Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, in his old age, after life and his strength and even his vision had departed him, he said, and since that day, I have known what saved me. I was a millimeter away from destruction. I was about to lie, but it was my truthfulness. And me sort of siding with those two other guys who made that hard decision of the bitter truth at whatever cost, momentarily it's going to hurt. He said, and I've never lied since that day. Be honest with yourself, brothers and sisters. Be honest with everyone you speak to. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, honesty leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise, and dishonesty leads to evil, and evil leads to the fire. You know, when you do evil and you mask it, you cloak it, that makes you more and more comfortable with it till it becomes who you are. It becomes who you are. You become defined by it because you've become so comfortable with it, because you were able to hide it so long until you got comfortable with it. This is why dishonesty is the veneer, the cloak, the curtain with which, behind which we get comfortable with ugliness. And that is why, and I close here, in the ayat about Ka'b ibn Malik and the Battle of Tabuk, in those set of ayat I've been referring you to the whole khutbah, Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you have believed, ittaqullah, fear Allah, wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen, and be with the truthful. That is the superfix. If you make a mistake, admit it. Don't justify it. Don't shame yourself publicly. This is not the idea. But be honest with yourself and be honest with others. And you will see where honesty will lead you in the same way that it led Ka'b ibn Malik. Be with those who are truthful, meaning surround yourself with them, and be with them, meaning be in their description, be among them in that description. May Allah make us of the honest, and forgive our sins, and protect us from putting things off, procrastination. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide our hearts to His pleasure always, and continue to make the beloved companions of our Prophet ﷺ that spark and inspiration that moves us safely closer to Him and His pleasure. Allahumma ameen.